The Iowa caucuses are 48 days away, and Democratic presidential candidates are preparing for their sixth debate on Thursday night in Los Angeles. Joining us for a look at the state of the race is NPR national political correspondent Asma Khalid. Hi, Asma.
Hey, Jeremy.
Okay, well, let's start with the recent polls, which show that there is kind of a top four emerging right now in the race. Joe Biden at the top, then Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and then Pete Buttigieg. Do you agree that that's the top four, and are things still fluid?
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree. I mean, this is the top four candidate field that we've been seeing now for a couple of months. It's something that was confirmed in the latest NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll that we put out yesterday. And, you know, I think there are some candidates who are trying to bump up, and we see some of them resonate a little bit more in some of the early states, say like Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, who seems to be tracking well in terms of local, you know, on-the-ground sentiment in Iowa, but we don't see that translating out to national sentiment at this point.
And what about Michael Bloomberg, who has started to rise in some of the polls, kind of still below Pete Buttigieg, but he's going up as he spends so much money. He's not going to be on the debate stage Thursday night. Will that matter to his campaign?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, you know, Jeremy, in saying that he has been bumping up a bit. We see him at 5% or 6% in some of these national polls. You know, my take on this is at this point in time, he's kind of a fascination for a number of voters. He will not be on the debate stage in part because he's not really playing in any of the early voting states. So at Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, that's not his game plan. His game plan is that he will essentially just compete in states after that point. You know, will it matter that he's not on the debate stage? I think for any candidate who is seriously trying to contend for the nomination, to be on this debate stage, to see how you interact with some of your competitors is crucial. And, you know, we've seen that. We've seen how Joe Biden has been able to be somewhat resilient despite attacks during some of these debates. And we've also seen how Elizabeth Warren has been hit a number of times, say, on her stances for Medicare for All during some of these debates and how that has affected her in the long run. So him not being in the debate stage, I think it does hurt him. I mean, he'll still be allowed to, you know, put out ads that show his message nationally. But at this point in the game, at this point in the campaign, you do need to be competing rather sort of effectively in Iowa and New Hampshire in particular.
Okay, well, let's see if we can quickly try to get through the top four candidates, starting with Joe Biden. Today, his campaign is putting out an ad of speech highlights in early voting states.
We give Donald Trump four more years. This will not be the country envisioned by Washington. This will not be the nation bound together by Lincoln. This will not be the nation lifted up by Roosevelt or inspired by Kennedy. It will not be the nation that Barack Obama proved bends toward justice.
Now, Asma, he's, of course, come up in the impeachment fight with Republicans accusing him and his son of corruption in Ukraine. He got into an argument a couple weeks ago with an Iowa voter about that. Over the summer, he was struggling to raise as much money as his rivals. How's he doing now?
So, you know, Jeremy, what we've seen from Joe Biden is that despite all of these things that you outlined, his campaign has been remarkably resilient as the months have gone on. I've seen him, you know, most notably, I would say, in South Carolina and Nevada, states that have more diverse electorates, and he's still remarkably popular. He brings out really large crowds. He had the Culinary Union in Las Vegas. His message seems to resonate with people despite, you know, some of the questions that we've seen thus far, both from Republicans and some of his opponents.
Okay, in interviews and at rallies, Bernie Sanders has been criticizing some of his rivals for taking big money donations. Here he is in Autumnaugh, Iowa on Sunday.
I don't think that's the democracy we want. We want a democracy of one person, one vote. We want a democracy where there is a clash of ideas and not big money buying elections. That's why together we will overturn Citizens United and move to public funding of elections.
It sounds a little like he's going after Bloomberg or Tom Steyer. They're the billionaires in the race. He is, Sanders, staying in the top tiers in the polls. What's the state of his campaign?
And, you know, just like Joe Biden, I would say he's been remarkably resilient. He has a really loyal base of followers. And I do think that early on in this campaign, there was an assumption that some of his supporters might go to a candidate like Elizabeth Warren. But when you look at the polls, Bernie Sanders still seems to have a plurality of support from progressives and young people. Another key constituency for him are Latinos. And I was actually out in Nevada just this past week. He seems to look better in the polling than even Joe Biden when you talk about Latino voters. It's a constituency he did pretty well with in 2016, and he's been building up larger support from Latinos, from younger voters of color. And I think that we're seeing that in terms of just his overall resiliency thus far.
Okay, let's talk about Elizabeth Warren, who is on a Fair Share road tour in Southeast Iowa. Last week, she spoke about the economy in a speech at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics.
The rich and the powerful have written the rules for our economy so that they suck up all the gains for themselves. It is corruption, plain and simple, and it is holding back growth in our economy.
Asma, Warren has slipped in the polls lately after some worry that her Medicare for All plan would be a problem for her with voters who don't want to lose their current health coverage. She seems to be starting to moderate that plan a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think that part of what's happening for Elizabeth Warren is, and I would argue that the slippage in the polls actually even predates a little bit when she came out with specific concrete policy plans. It was because of the fact that this is a candidate who has, you know, enunciated really clear policy positions on so many things, but she kept saying that there would be no middle class tax increase, but yet she was going to have a Medicare for All system that eliminates private insurance. And that's kind of when we began to see a little bit of her slipping in the polls. You know, as time has gone on, I think that what she's struggled to do is to kind of clearly articulate a middle ground between both Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg. And when you look at where her support is coming from, it's coming from both progressives and a lot of college-educated whites. These are folks who support different candidates in the field right now. And some of this, I do think, is getting a little muddled because she's put out a Medicare for All plan. This is an idea, you know, eliminating private insurance is not an idea that a plurality of voters want. And so she's trying to sell a position to voters that not everybody seems on board with, or at this point, they seem a little nervous about.
Let's talk about Pete Buttigieg, who was fundraising in Silicon Valley yesterday, and reporters asked him about the head of Netflix, Reed Hastings, who's an advocate of private charter schools, hosting a fundraiser for him.
So I'm very clear where I stand on these issues. There are 700,000 donors to my campaign. Some of them may disagree with me on some of those issues, but my stance will not change, including my support for teachers and my support for labor.
Asma, how is Buttigieg holding up under the increased scrutiny of breaking into the top tier of candidates?
You know, I would say he's been actually pretty effective in terms of being able to combat criticism that he's faced. I would argue one of the most frequent criticisms he's received is his lack of support amongst voters of color. And when he's been criticized for this, I mean, I'm thinking most notably there was a pretty candid piece in The Root by Michael Harriet, who criticized Pete Buttigieg. What the mayor of South Bend, Indiana did was he called the author, and then the author wrote about what happened. So he's, you know, taken a kind of effective tactic of when he's been criticized to kind of candidly explore those conversations in a way that we don't often see candidates do. I mean, that being said, though, Jeremy, he still has struggled and continues to struggle with voters of color in the polls. And I do argue that, you know, it's a very hard thing to do to pull off and become the nominee of the Democratic Party if you cannot get a substantial amount of support from Black and Latino voters.
Two other candidates will be at the debate. That would be Tom Steyer and Andrew Yang. And eight candidates will not be at the debate: Cory Booker, Julian Castro, Amy Klobuchar, Tulsi Gabbard, Michael Bennett, John Delaney, Deval Patrick, and Marianne Williamson. Anything we should say about all of those people?
I mean, at this point, a number of them are still trying to gain ground, specifically in Iowa, with the idea being that if they could pull off an upset win in Iowa, that could potentially catapult them on further. At this point, you know, there are two people in particular amongst that list, I think, that I want to point out to, and that is Amy Klobuchar, a senator from Minnesota, as well as New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Both of them have been building up, you know, I would say fairly substantial, robust, whether it's ground games or endorsement lists, both in Iowa and New Hampshire. I think the difficulty, again, is, as you know, we were talking about earlier, if you're not on the debate stage, that's just a lot of kind of free airtime to deliver your message that these candidates are not going to get. And yes, Iowa is very, very important, but the national narratives that we see for these candidates matters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's to the point why we see a candidate like Michael Bloomberg kind of bumping up in the national polls. Airtime does matter.
Well, and President Trump, who will be their eventual opponent, is getting a lot of airtime himself, holding another rally in Michigan tonight. And a Quinnipiac poll out has him at his highest approval rating ever in that poll, 43%. That is Asma Khalid, NPR national political correspondent. Asma, thank you.
You're welcome.